produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
A healer.
God is a healer.
Yes, he is.
Sometimes weapons form against you, but they'll never prosper. Remember, God is your shield.
He's waiting for your call.
He is waiting for your call. Waiting to shield you from your fall.
And there's a place of rest and peace.
There's a place of rest sanctuary.
And here's the good news.
Peace is waiting.
Peace is waiting.
Hallelujah.
In the sanctuary. One more verse. Listen.
Sometimes your bills can stress you.
Can I get a witness in here?
But remember God's peace.
He's a peace giver.
He's a peace giver.
I bet you can relate to this.
Sometimes your money's running low and you're worried how you'll make it. But God will supply your.
Anybody know he'll supply your needs? He's waiting for your call.
He's waiting for your call. Waiting to shield you from your fall. And there's a place of rest and peace in the sanctuary.
Everybody lift your hands if you feel him moving in this place. I feel you moving.
I feel you move.
In the sanctuary.
In the sanctuary.
Greetings, everyone. This is Dr. Mary coming to you with another session of Healing the Hurt. As always, let me just take a moment to remind you that only God can heal your hurt, turn your pain into purpose, and change your adversities into the authority to walk out your destiny. Later on, I'm going to explain to you why I say that all the time. But for now, let's continue with the program. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I give you glory and honor and praise for another opportunity to serve. Thank you for showing mercy to us daily, even though we don't deserve it. But because of your compassionate love, you extend favor to us over and over again. Father, thank you for your love and protection. Father, I continue to ask your blessings upon Kayla. CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network, and her family. Continue to bless her with wisdom and boldness as she fulfills the mission that you have entrusted to her. I ask your continued blessings upon her staff and sponsors. Thank you for the love of your precious people and the commitment to the gospel that you've placed in each of their hearts. Father, I pray for healing. Please heal sick bodies. Comfort those who are mourning losses. Bring peace to anxious and depressed minds in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing for our nation and godly wisdom for our spiritual and political leaders. Father, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. My talking points for today is about the protection plan of a very deliberate God. The protection plan of a very deliberate God. Now, I'm going to be referencing scripture, Jeremiah 29. Now, I believe God controls everything. I do not believe that situations in our lives ever happen by chance. I believe that God has a specific purpose and a plan for everything that happens in the earth and in our lives. And I think that is why several of us can hear the same message and each will have a different takeaway, because God's plan for me may not look like his plan for someone else. I further believe that once we have developed a love relationship with the Lord and have been called according to his purpose, everything that happens, and I do mean everything that happens in our lives, will work for good. And Romans 8 and 28 verifies that fact. Remembering that fact had enabled me to remain stress-free during some very turbulent times. Now, I want to just read the scripture that inspired my talking points for today, if I may. I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning with verse 4, and I'll read through 7 and then jump down to 10 and go through 14. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace." And then verses 10 through 14 says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. For I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places that I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Now, I believe that passage of scripture reveals the protection plan of a very deliberate God. It was not by accident that Israel ended up in exile. It was the deliberate action of the Lord because God had a plan. Even though they were carried away into exile due to their disobedience, the protection plan of God remained in effect. I call God deliberate because he does nothing by chance. His actions are always focused and purposeful. He caused Israel's captivity for a purpose. Now, he had instructed them in verses 4 through 7 that once they arrived in Babylon to build houses, plant gardens, marry, increase in numbers, seek peace and prosperity in the land. They were not to go into captivity with an angry or hostile attitude, but rather with an attitude that would bring glory to him. Our attitude matters to God, and we need to always keep that in mind. They were instructed to pray for prosperity, and not just for themselves, but for the prosperity of the city, because if the city prospered, so would they. Sometimes it's necessary to get on board and push someone else to succeed, to be successful ourselves. Selfishness has never been part of God's plan. In verses 11 through 14, the Lord reveals the details of his plan. God's plan was a blueprint for Israel to prosper, to have peace, hope, and a future, even while in captivity. Although they were in exile because of their disobedience, God did not desire for them to be destroyed. He continued to bless them and prosper them. God never planned for them to be devalued in any way, and he never plans for us to be devalued either. We can keep our heads up and continue to praise God even while in an exiled state, knowing that it is not in his plan for us to be destroyed. Now, what do I mean when I say an exiled state? I'm talking about any state of mind or condition that causes one to feel a detachment from the people, places, and things they once found comfort in. It is necessary, however, to seek peace and pray and remain free in spirit during times of exile. Scripture says in John 8:36 that if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. To me, that says exile situations will not hold us hostage when the Son has set us free. I believe God's plan for Israel was that they were to remain free in him even though they were physically exiled in Babylon. This reminds us that God can help us remain free in him and not become victim of fear or other toxic emotions, even if there is chaos all around. God planned for Israel to prosper, have peace, hope, and a future. I believe his plan is still in effect for us today. I do not believe God has changed his mind. His plan for his people is to prosper, have peace, hope, and a future, even with COVID-19, wildfires, storms and tornadoes, and earthquakes happening in diverse places. We can be confident that we are covered under the protection plan of a very deliberate God. I'm going to repeat the specifics of this plan because I believe someone needs to have this fact embedded in their mind. God's plan is for us to prosper, not just materially prosper, but God desires for us to prosper spiritually. His plan is for us to have peace. He does not desire for us to be stressed and anxious about the affairs of the world or the affairs of our personal lives. His plan is for us to have hope and a future. He wants us to eagerly look ahead with anticipation of a glorious future with him. After 70 years in exile, the Lord returned his people just as he had promised, but they were to come back with a renewed attitude of reverence and praise. They would seek him sincerely, and he would be found of them. They were in exile for 70 years and remained under the protection plan of the Lord. Their coverage never expired. God made his people prosperous even while in captivity, just as he is causing some to prosper during this pandemic. I believe that this passage indicates to us that we are never to give up, but to seek to build and thrive in whatever place we find ourselves in. When hard times come, seek God for ways to prosper. Never give up. Remember his plan. To reap the full benefits of God's plan requires us to have faith and a positive outlook during times of adversity. As I quoted in my book, it is during adversities that we often learn some of our most valuable life lessons. The fact that God instructed Israel to pray for their captors speak to obedience and love for God. When we love him, we will do what he says. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." To love him is to obey him. Now, can you imagine how difficult that would be to pray for the prosperity of someone who is oppressing us if we did not have the love of God in our hearts? God is deliberate. I believe he allows us to experience situations to put us back on the path of realizing his plan for our lives. Israel had strayed away from the plan of the Lord. That is the reason why they were in exile in the first place. So here they are now in exile, learning valuable life lessons, but still under the protection plan of a deliberate God. I believe that because the Lord has a purpose for our lives, everything that we go through is to prepare us to walk in that purpose. And that is why I say he will change your adversities into authority to walk out your destiny at the beginning of every one of my sessions. I believe that adversities are linked to our destiny because God is very deliberate. He always allows things to happen for a purpose. Now, when in exile, we are banished from our comfort zone, from the environment that we thought once provided a sense of peace and security. So what do we do while in exile? When our peace is disturbed and we're feeling vulnerable, we look to the one who is peace, and that is Jesus Christ. I do not believe that exile is simply physical, because I believe our emotions can mimic our physical situations, making it possible for one to experience emotional exile as well. Because exile means to banish. Now, you may be wondering, how can someone banish emotionally? Good question. Sometimes individuals will distance and close themselves off emotionally. This can happen because of fear and pain, fear of rejection, and any type of pain, physical or emotional, that feels overwhelming, can cause a person to emotionally check out. It has been said that process is the mind's way of protecting itself from overload. Now, this is one of the reasons why healing the hurt is so important. Emotional exile can result from experiencing a trauma. It can also happen when people are grieving. Sometimes when we are grieving, we tend to shut down because we fear that intense emotions will make others uncomfortable or may show too much of our own vulnerability. And we tend to isolate emotionally, thinking that it is unsafe to show our true feelings. Now, that is a mistake, and that can cause serious emotional issues. Emotional exile can also be a residual of attachment issues resulting from a childhood trauma that interrupted parental bonding. And it can also happen when one fears being judged for an issue that they are experiencing, for instance, depression, an eating disorder, or any other type of addiction. If one is going through a particular issue They feel that sharing their problem will only result in being labeled or judged. This often leads to emotional exile. If someone is listening to this program who is experiencing emotional exile, I want you to know that if you love the Lord and if you've been called according to His purpose, even your emotional exile can work for good. Now, it's a good idea, though, to seek professional help when sorting through overwhelming feelings. A skilled therapist may be extremely helpful. There is no shame in seeking help when needed. In times of confusion and pain, when we are beginning to experience thoughts that frequently accompany emotional exile, you know, the thoughts that tell us we are alone and no one understands or cares about our feelings, a spirit-filled therapist can remind us that there is no expiration on God's protection plan. God cares, and we are still covered, even though we're going through. God covers us because of His love and kindness. Jeremiah 31:3 reminds us that His love is everlasting and His kindness is unfailing. When we have a love relationship with Him, He loves us right back. Proverbs 8:17 reminds us that He loves those who love Him, and those who seek Him early shall find Him. Israel was banished into exile because they had become distracted in their worship and were not giving God the reverence that He deserved. Because He does not desire for any to perish, they were given a time in exile to refocus. When difficult times come in our lives, it just may be our time to refocus as well. We may not immediately understand His plan because Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." There are times when He may reveal His plan to us in advance, and then there are times when we must just trust the process and keep walking by faith, trusting Him until we get the revelation. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, Jeremiah 29:11 reads slightly different in the NIV, the New International Version, than it does in the New King James Version. The NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you." The New King James says, "I know the thoughts I have for you." Now, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that we are in God's thoughts and He makes plans for our future? Isaiah 1:19 reminds us that if we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good things of the land. Obedience is key. That is how we prove our love for the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," in John 14:15. I referenced obedience earlier. If we are obedient to His word and seek Him sincerely, we will experience the reality of His plan, and we will eat the good things of the land, as the scripture said. Now, I speak from the experience of one who once felt isolation and pain resulting from a state of emotional exile. I speak as one who cried out to the Lord for help, and I also speak as one who now knows the true worth of the protection plan of a very deliberate God. There is value in exile. An exile experience can lead to a life-altering experience. It can be a situation that leads to repentance, as it did with Israel. An exile experience can provide a time alone with God, an uninterrupted time that allows us to seek His face and hear from Him, as with John when he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. It was during John's time of exile that the Spirit revealed important mysteries to him that are recorded in Revelation chapter 1. Just as Jesus had a plan for Israel and a plan for John, He has a plan for His people today. We do not need to fear exile experiences, but rather see them as opportunities to hear the quiet whisper of the Spirit. It is during times of brokenness that God is closest to us. Psalms 34 and 18 reminds us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Trust God during times of exile. We are valuable to God, much like a piece of treasured fine jewelry that comes with a protection plan. Those of us who have made a commitment to live for Christ are covered under that protection plan of our very deliberate God. Now, if someone is listening and you have not given your heart to Jesus, you're not covered under his protection plan yet, but you can get coverage today. The Lord does not want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance, according to 2 Peter 3 and 9. Give your heart to Jesus today. Do not miss this opportunity to know Jesus and experience his loving protection. Scripture reminds us in Romans 10, 9 and 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is a definitive statement. Jesus wants to save you, heal your hurt, and cover you with his protection plan. I invite you to open your heart to Jesus and pray this short prayer of salvation with me. Shall we pray? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I confess my sins to you and ask your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Please come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save my soul and give me a new life in you, and I will serve you from this day forward. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Amen. If you prayed with me in faith, you're now saved and covered with God's protection plan. Praise God for your new life in him. Now, if you gave your heart to Jesus today, and if you would like me to assist you in connecting with an online ministry to help you grow in your new faith, I would be honored to do that for you. Go to www.drmarygpatton.com and click on the link to get in touch and leave a message. Or you may email me at books@drmarygpatton.com. Again, that's books@drmarygpatton.com. Now, if you prefer to leave a message on Facebook, just scroll to the bottom of this page. I would love to help you get connected with an online ministry so that you can grow in your new faith. I pray that you have been inspired by the lesson today, and I encourage you to join me next time for another session of Healing the Hurt. Until then, be encouraged, and remember, God wants to heal you.
Away.
God wants to heal you.
Yes, he does.
Everywhere you hurt.
God will see you through. Yes, he will.
He'll take the pain.
Listen.
Away.
God shall provide for you each and every day. So lift your hands and say, Lord, I need you. I need you right away.
God shall provide for you.
I know he will.
Each and every day.
Each and every day.
Just lift your hands and say,
lift your hands and
Lord,
say, now come on, just lift your hands and begin to thank him for the healing right now.
Come on, let me hear you worship him all over the house tonight. God is in the room to heal you tonight. His presence is here.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Alpha and Omega. Ungu Alpha and Omega. You are Alpha and you are Omega. That was your celebration with that song sung in Zulu. It means you are Alpha and you are Omega. I want to greet each and every one of you listening from wherever you are. In the name of our Lord and Savior, this is Pastor Jabu Sangwane coming in from Johannesburg, South Africa on Finding My Way Radio. Thank you, Kyla, and thank you, Pastor Shimi, for the opportunity to share with whoever is part of this big, lovely, warm family of Finding My Way. It's a privilege and an honor for me to be a part of this. I want to share quickly from my heart and the topic that says your future is secured. Your future is secured. I know that this topic is kind of shaky in a person who's listening and who has questions about their future, especially when you are going through a rough patch or you're going through uncomfortable circumstance, or you've just lost a relative or a job, or when you look at your life, you don't see if there is any light at the end of the tunnel. When you hear somebody telling you that your future is secured, that kind of gives you two or three thoughts before you can accept that. I come through today to share with you what God has put in my heart today about your future and how secure it is. And we're going to read in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and verse 12, maybe land on 13. A lot of you have heard about these verses. These are one of the verses that are familiar in the body of Christ. Verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a home." Another version says, "They are plans to prosper you." And when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. This is what God says to the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah sends this message to the children of Israel. And these are people who were going through stuff. They had experienced captivity in Babylon. And God is giving them a promise that he will rescue them. He will deliver them. And when he delivers them, he shall fulfill his promises. And in this verse it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, and the plans I have for you are good, and the plans are not disastrous. The plans are to give you a future and a hope." And I sometimes talk, and when I talk like this, there are people listening who have no hope for the future. Says, "I give you plans that have hope for the future. And when you call on me, I will listen." Jeremiah is telling people who have experienced spaces in their lives where they thought their God had turned his back on them. They have gone through experiences that are hard. When we go with them into the spaces where they come from in captivity, this is where the oppressors or who gave them hard labor and multiplied the hardship and demanded from them things that were hard in terms of work, hard to do. And I imagine in their corners after work, when they go into their corners, they would look each other in the face and ask, I imagine, if our God still with us, what happened to him? Even though we know we didn't do right, the situation in which we find ourselves, but what is his opinion? What does he say when he looks at us and sees us being driven as slaves in this place. And God in this verse is saying, my plans, I have plans for you. We're talking to people whose existence did not exhibit any form of plan from God. The plan it looked like, the plan they were subjected to were the plans of their captors, the plans of Babylon. It looked like the plans for them came only from their captors. But God is saying, I have plans for you. He was not talking about plans that he was putting together. He had those plans from the beginning. This is the message that he sends to his people. And he says, I will deliver you. The most important thing in this chapter for me is verse number 11. It's incredible that the existence of human beings, the existence of you as you listen, the existence of each and every one of us is not without a plan from God. I might not have a plan, but God has a plan for me. Because he is that kind of God. He's a God who does not do anything without a plan. When we go to Genesis 1, it says in 26 verse, let us make man in our image. He's making a plan. And he says, this man will be like us. He will be like, he puts the plan together. And then when you read, you go down, he says, and then God made man, and then he got into the practical to create what he planned for. In verse 26, he is like that. He is a God that plans before he does. When he formed us, he says, he formed us on top of a plan. Just like he has a plan for you as you listen to this broadcast, even if it doesn't look like it has a plan, your life has a plan. And I look back at my life, I see all the corners I've turned trying to make a plan for my life. And I remember clearly, like it was yesterday, when I discovered that I actually cannot plan for myself. It was a Saturday morning and I gave my life to him. When you continue to read, he says, the plans, the type of plans I have, good plans. God is waiting to implement a good plan for you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, he has a good plan waiting to be implemented for you. And a sad thing for me sometimes is seeing a child of God who has even given their lives to Christ still trying to plan for themselves. It is possible, child of God, to be born again, but still keep your plans with you and continue making your plans. I certainly have seen a lot of people like that. I imagine a child trying to live their life according to the plan that they make for themselves. I remember when my wife first got pregnant, and we planned that the child would sleep in this bedroom. We had a plan for that before she got pregnant. We had a plan for the child's education before she got pregnant. When she got pregnant, we even chose the clothes as soon as we knew it was a girl. It was a girl, and we chose how the girl was going to be raised. We even chose a school and a nursery or a kindergarten where she would go. We even chose the school, the primary school where she would go. We chose everything. We had put money on the side for the child, for the school, and we put money for the education and for her health needs. Before she was born, we had everything planned. Right now, she's a fully grown woman who has her own life. She has her own plans, but while she was in her mother's womb, we had put aside money to take care of her when she comes out and was born. We had put aside money for insurance. We had put money for education. We had put money for what she's going to eat. We put money on the side for the bedroom, whether it was going to be this color or that color. Money was put on the side so that she walked in the plans of the parents. She walks in the plans that we had for her. You know as well as I do that any plan by a child will never work. I imagine your child standing in front of you, being 1 or 2 years old, and saying, look, my plan is to go and play and never come back unless I'm hungry. My plan is to... It didn't work because children do not know. The reason why any planning from a child will never work is simply because children are just that. They are children. They do not know. Children do not know the plans that the parents have for them, but the parents, like God, know the plans they have for their children. And again, like with God, plans that parents have for their children are to prosper them and give them hope. When a child grows, they get to understand that no matter how clever they are, they can never know what the plans the parents have for them. They end up rising in the knowledge that the parents do know the plans they have for them. We are called children of God. In the book of John 1, verse 12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them power or a right to become the children of God. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the right to be children of God. Even though he gives us this right, we need to receive it and walk in it just like a normal child. We do not know the plan that God has for us and for our lives. And as soon as we accept Christ as our Savior, we accept this right to be called children of God. And we become like children. The most important thing for us is to become like children and not have plans for ourselves, because we do not know what the plans of God are for us. Today, child of God, I want to assure you, God has a plan for you. You might be in a place that feels like exile, like the children of Israel. It might be an uncomfortable place. Someone might even ask and say, how come I end up in a place like this if God is alive? If God cares about me, you might ask, why did I get to have a life as bad as the life I have? I do not know what you are going through as you listen to this broadcast. All I know is that God does allow us to go into our exiles. He allows us to go through uncomfortable circumstances sometimes. But one thing I know is that he goes with you through it because he has a plan for you. When we go back to verse 4, he says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. From this verse, we learn that indeed God exiled his children. He exiled the children of Israel. He himself exiled them. He allowed them to go in that direction. But even in their exile, he was there. He was seeing their tears. He was just waiting to fulfill the plans he had about them. In this chapter, he is outlining his plans. I promise you, child of God, no matter what you are facing, God is waiting to fulfill his outlined plans for you. You just don't know it. In fact, he does not even want you to know it. All you need to know is that there is a plan for your life. Your future is secure. All you need to do is to trust God. Believe your God. Obey your God. We'll take a break and come back in a little while. We're going to do a song now by Joy Celebrations called When You See Me, You Save Me. And thank you. Joy Celebrations 16. And we'll be back.
One you call Lola. just want to thank you. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, God, there's no one like you. I just want to thank you.
Today are songs that celebrate what God has already done for us. That is why in the beginning I played a song that you are Alpha and you are Omega. I mean, he's the beginning, he's the start, and he's the finish. We live in between. You know, when I say your future is covered, I mean, the beginning, he was there. We are in the middle, and we live in the middle. Our God is going to be there at the end because he's Alpha and Omega. And the song says, one is seated, you saved me. And the knowledge of salvation is the knowledge of security of our future. All we need to do is to trust and to obey him, to listen to him, to have a ear that is listening to the voice of God on the inside. This is one of the most important things. God values obedience because he can never call on you to obey something that will harm you. He knows that when he leads you, he will lead you to a place that is good for you, a place that gives you hope. And you see this in the children of Israel failing from time to time to put their ear to the voice of God. We see them trying to make their own plans. We see their plans failing because their plans are not God's plans. Their plans are not created by God. In fact, their plans always led them to bondage and frustration. When you read in the book of Numbers, for instance, when you land on Numbers 33 in verse 1, it is outlining the route that the children of Israel took moving from Egypt into the promised land. After reading the whole chapter, I mean particularly this particular chapter of Numbers 33, I read it again differently. I took a map and I followed the map where they went. I see that they went for 40 years a distance. They could have covered around 11 days. They could have gone to the promised land much quicker. It is so incredible for me. 11 days turned into 40 years. And the next question that comes to mind is why? Somebody I was talking to at some stage answered this question differently. He said, after taking them from Egypt, God had to work at removing Egypt from them. Because when we come to know the Lord, we are used to making our own plans. When we receive Christ, we come from a background where we make our own plans. And it is a difficult thing to adapt to this new circumstance where our plans need to be surrendered to God. So when we come to God, we need to learn to surrender our plans to God. So the children of Israel, they were used to making their own plans in bondage, in Egypt. They knew their routine of work. They knew that after, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do this work. This is how I'm going to dodge and escape hardship. They have their own plan. They're used to that. So when God releases them from Egypt to take them into the promised land, they have a problem surrendering their plans to God. That is why we see them along the way rebelling against Moses, rebelling against God, rejecting the plans that God has for them. And it always lands them into problems. They were not conditioned to simply inherit the new while their mind is still stuck in the old. In Exodus 14, you hear them complaining, bemoaning their present situation, and they're looking back into their past, and they think their past was glamorous. They still had their past on the inside of them. You cannot accept and walk according to the plans of God while you're holding on to your own plans. God demands obedience from us. We cannot follow the plans of God without obedience. I want to tell you today, child of God, your future is secured. His plans for your life are guaranteed. It may not look like it. You might have given up on him showing up, but he's there like a teacher at an exam room. He's there waiting to come to your rescue. All you need to do is to keep your life anchored in him, surrendering all your plans to him. If you give him your life and surrender, after giving your life to Christ, just surrender your plans to him. Believe him. Trust that his plans are good for you. You shall never be disappointed. We serve a God that is true. We serve a God that knows our circumstance. We serve a God that is not surprised at what we go through. Because what we go through is what he knows. That is why a man of God that I love so much said, although I walk in the valley, I will not fear. It's just a man who has surrendered his plans to God. He knows that he will walk in the valley of the shade of death. But he knows the God that he serves is with him there. Today, I'm saying to you, your future is secured in God. If you want your future to be protected from the evil one, surrender it to God. Surrender every aspect of your life, the money, your family, your time, everything surrender to God, and your future shall surely be secured in him. We shall close with a song by Just Celebration, Oh, I Trust in You. May God bless you until next time. This is Pastor Jabu signing off from Johannesburg. Until next time, God bless you.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings, beautiful people. Welcome to our New Growth in Christ radio broadcast. I am so grateful to join you today. I am Bishop Sidney P. Malone, the pastor and the founder of New Growth in Christ, and I am so honored to connect with you by partnering with this wonderful radio station, Finding My Way Radio Network. God is doing such a tremendous thing in this particular vehicle, and our prayers are working. We're going to continue to lift up our president, our founder, Ms. Caleb Padgett, as well as this wonderful vehicle, and we are expecting for the Father to do the miraculous literally around the world. So thank you, Ms. Caleb, for your commitment and dedication to the things of God. Thank you for being faithful to the call. Thank you for having a heart to serve the kingdom of God. So again, around the world, let's continue to lift up Finding My Way Radio Network. Let's continue to pray for our leader, and let's continue to believe God for the miraculous and those open doors and open opportunities to share the gospel to continue to manifest in Jesus' name. I am grateful for all of our partners, for all of our friends, for all of our prayer warriors who pray for us and who keep us covered around the world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of all of the souls that are being changed by New Growth in Christ, we appreciate you. And of course, to God be the glory. But we understand that we could not do this if it were not for people like you. So thank you very much for your support. Thank you very much for your encouragement. And just please continue to lift us up in prayer. Continue to cover us as we endeavor to take this gospel around the world. I am grateful for our friends in the United States of America, as well as the church in which I'm honored to pastor, New Growth in Christ. Thank you, New Growth in Christ, for your prayers and your support, as well as our partners from all over. The Lord has been faithful to allow me to travel and to share in different venues and in different cities. And so I'm very, very honored for all of our support from around this country. But also, thank you, thank you, thank you for just the local individuals here in Memphis, Tennessee, who pray for us, who lift us up. Look at our new website. For those of you who are interested in these individuals, you can go to newgrowthinchrist.com. That is newgrowthinchrist.com. You can go there and you can see how God has blessed us right here in the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee, in the United States of America. And again, New Growth, we love you and we're excited because you know the Lord is speaking some incredible things out in our sanctuary, and we are seeing these things happen for the glory of the Father. So thank you again for your support. I want to go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I am excited about today's message. Oh, my goodness. I am so filled with this. I believe that this is a wonderful time for the body of Christ as we are receiving, as we are believing, as we are expecting, and as we declare. And so I'm just excited. I'm excited about how the people of God are aligning themselves up with the divine will of the Father, and we are seeing miracles. There have been many who prayed and said, we need to see more miracles happen in the body of Christ. Well, beloved, prayers are being answered. I am a living witness. I'm seeing more miracles and more miraculous occurrences happen because, hear this, because we have a heart to do what the Father said, the Great Commission. Jesus said to go ye into all the world. And then he said, these signs, over in the book of Mark 16, these signs shall follow them which believe. Well, what's the purpose for a sign? The purpose for a sign is to share information. It's to indicate a particular direction. It's to indicate a particular location. It's to share some type of information with the individual who's following on a particular trail or path. And so he said, these signs shall follow them which believe. Now, it's important for you to understand that we are not chasing signs, but we are seeking first, Matthew 6 and 33. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as we seek first the kingdom of God, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So these signs are not ahead of us, but these signs are following us. Why are they following us? Because there are people who are looking to us for direction. There's a dying world who needs to see the life and the love and the lordship of Christ. And so when they see us, they're looking for a sign. Now listen, as a believer, we don't need signs. We have the Holy Spirit. And because we are filled with the Spirit and we're walking in the light of the Spirit, 1 John 2 and 20 says, we have an unction, we have an anointing, we have a knowing, we have a leading from the Holy One. And because of that unction, we know all things. Well, because we know all things and we're being led by the Spirit, because we're sons of God, we don't need a sign given when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling. We don't need a sign given when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling. He's dwelling within us. And as he dwells in us, he will lead and guide us into all truth. Amen, amen, amen. Now, as he's leading and guiding us into all truth, there are people who will look at us. They will look at our lives. They will look at how we are walking. They will look at how we are living. And from our living, our walking, and our demonstration, they will see signs. What signs shall they see? They shall see the miraculous power of God working on our behalf. They will see the favor of God. They will see the grace and the mercy and the love of God. They will see miracles. Now, beloved, I want you to hear me. Hear me very well, because we are children of the King. Miracles will work on our behalf. But we are not seeking miracles. We seek the Master. And as we ascertain the Master, as we get the Master, as we seek the Master, guess what? Miracles are a regular occurrence of our day. We will see favor. We will see blessings. We will see miracles. We will see wonders manifest. But hear me, the miracles and the wonders and the signs are not so that we can believe. No, we already believe. We don't need a sign. We don't need a miracle. We have faith. And because we have faith, we act upon what we believe. And as we act upon what we believe, we will see things manifest on our behalf. Now, since we've settled that, let me get to this particular portion of what I want to share with you today. We must speak our expectation. We must speak what we believe. There's a wonderful transaction that occurs when we connect our believing with our speaking. When we connect our believing with our speaking, and we connect our speaking with our believing, a powerful, powerful occurrence and manifestation happens in the life of the believer. The Bible says that that's how we got born again. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Why? Because we believed in our heart that he died for us and that the Father raised him from the dead. And because we confess, Jesus, you are Lord. And our confession is based upon what we have in our heart, what we believe. Guess what? Something powerful happened. What happened? Salvation. We were born again. We were born again because we matched what we believe with what we were saying. And that combination created a miracle. The same thing happens when we are walking by faith. The scripture says, I believe, therefore I speak. See, because you believe, you connect your speaking with your believing. And what else is involved in your believing is expectation. I have an expectation that things are going to go in a particular manner. Things will go in a particular direction. I have an expectation that things will manifest for me. And because you believe and you expect for things to be just as you believe, you will speak it. And when you again connect your believing with your speaking, something powerful begins to happen. Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. Reading from the King James Version. And we might go to the Amplified as well. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. The Amplified says, while he was talking this way to them, behold, a ruler entered and, kneeling down, worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will come to life. Now notice this next verse. The scripture says, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. I have a question. Why do you think Jesus followed him? Why do you think Jesus stopped what he was doing, got up, and began to head to that man's house? He did it because that particular gentleman had an expectation. Bishop Malone, how do you know he had an expectation? Because he spoke what he believed. He spoke it. What did he believe? He, in this situation, knew that his daughter was dead. But his expectation was, she can still live. How is that possible? I need for Jesus to come to my house, and lay his hand upon her. If he does that, she shall live. See, that was his expectation. Again, Bishop, how do you know that? Because he spoke it. He said it. Now, we know, give you another example. We know that Jesus didn't have to necessarily come to his house in order for the young lady to live. Jesus could have spoken the word. Did not the centurion say, all you have to do is give the command, and my servant will be well? And Jesus marveled at his faith and just spoke the word, and the centurion's servant was healed. Well, why didn't Jesus just say to the man, listen, I don't have to come to your house. We can save that trip. We can save time and money. I can just stand right here and speak the word, and your daughter shall live. Why did Jesus not say that to him? Because if he did, if Jesus told him that, the man would not believe him. Oh, Bishop, how can you say that? Because the man came with his expectation. He already said what he believed. And you know what Jesus did? Catch this now. Jesus met the man at his place of expectation. He met him right there. He didn't tell the man, try to get the man to come up or to come down. Whatever the man said, Jesus met him right there. He said, I believe if you come to my house, my daughter will live. And that's why Jesus said, all right, disciples, let's go. Because I must meet the man at his place of expectation. How do you know that was his place of expectation? Because he spoke it. He allowed it to come out of his mouth. Beloved, please grab this truth. Whatever you believe, you will speak it. And the Father can only meet you at the place of your expectation. That's why Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. But he started off by saying, if you can believe. If means there's a possibility that it might happen or it might not happen. And so he said, if you can. He didn't say if you may. He said, if you can. If you can believe. Can speaks to ability. And so Jesus told us, if we possess the ability to believe, he said, I'll release all possibilities at that place of your belief. Oh, beloved, hear me. It's not on God to do the incredible in your life, but it's on you to believe the incredible God. And he already said to us, if you can believe it, I will do it. Let's read on. Jesus was heading to the man's house. In verse 20, notice what happened. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Now notice, this woman had an issue of blood. She wasn't identified by her name. She was identified by her issue. How many people who are listening to me right now, you have a circumstance, an issue that is so enormous that you lose who you are, you lose your identity, and now you are identified by your issue. Sometimes we can allow problems and situations to become so large and so great in our lives that we no longer are free to do what we believe we were created to do or what we desire to do. Why? Because we have an issue. This woman was identified by her issue. That issue had dominated her life, had controlled her life for 12 years. But I want you to notice her weird action. Bishop, what do you mean? Notice what she did. She came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Now, how in the world will touching the hem of his garment help her in her issue? How can that bring a solution to a problem that she's had for 12 long years? Notice verse 21. For she said. For she said. She said within herself. I like to term it this way. She mumbled her miracle. She didn't make a grand announcement. She did not invoke everybody's attention to what she was doing. No, she discreetly came in the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and she was trying to discreetly move away. But Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. He knew something happened. Why? Because this woman performed an action that she expected would bring her deliverance. Notice in verse 21 again, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Why did this action work for her? Because she believed it. She believed it. Listen, beloved, you don't go and just start touching somebody's garment. You don't go and just start touching your pastor's robe, thinking that it's going to work for you. It's not the action that worked. It was her faith. It was her belief. It was her expectation. It was her declaring. All of that is what caused it to work. Because the Bible says Jesus turned himself about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. The woman was made whole from that hour. Jesus turned around and said, you touching my garment made you whole. No. You pressing in the crowd made you whole. No. He said, your faith. Well, how do we know she had faith? Verse 21, she was speaking what she believed. See, listen, faith is action. It's action that is based upon my belief in the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And because I believe whatever the Father says, I put action to what I believe. What was her action? Her action was her speaking. She said, listen, I've had this issue for 12 years. If I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just touch his garment, I'll be whole. Now, we say touch the hem, but she didn't say that. She just said, I just need to touch his garment anywhere. I could touch his sleeve. I could touch his shoulder. I could touch his waist. I could touch, just as long as I come in contact with the very garment he has on, I will be whole. Now, because of how things were, she just came and touched the hem of it. But if she would have touched him anywhere, she would have been whole, because that is what she believed. I want to challenge everybody who's listening to me right now. Mumble your miracle. Speak your expectation. Don't say, God is going to bless me. See, is going to means that he hasn't already. No, don't delay your miracle. Speak your miracle right now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is now. You speak it right now. Thank you, Father, I am healed. Thank you, Father, because I've heard the word today. I receive my healing, and I walk in it right now. Thank you, Father, I am prosperous. I am prosperous in every area because I've heard the word today. Things turn for me now. Situations turn for me now. Prosperity comes to me now. I receive the increase. I receive my blessing. I receive my favor. My family is saved. My family walks in the light of the gospel of Christ. My family is whole. My family is healed. See, you speak your expectation. Speak it now. And as you speak it now, you will see exactly what you believe to see. The kingdom of God, beloved, it's not, I see it first, and then I'll believe it. No, beloved, it's I believe it, and then I see it. Father, I pray for your people. Bless them now. Increase them now to walk in this authority, to walk in this understanding, so that they will see those signs follow them, those miracles manifest for them, so that this dying world will embrace the character, the nature, the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We receive it now, and we bless you for it. Amen and amen. I love you, beloved. Thank you for listening to New Growth in Christ radio broadcast right here on Finding My Way Radio Network. And if you would love to get in touch with me, go to my website, newgrowthinchrist.com. Again, that is newgrowthinchrist.com. newgrowthinchrist.com. Go there and you feel free to be in touch with me, and I'd love to hear from you. So until next time, this is your bishop, Bishop Sidney P. Malone, reminding you to keep going and growing with Jesus. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.